everyone, and welcome to Minute 149 of the Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into the Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is Will Slater of Exploding Helicopter. Welcome back, Will.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah. Why not? It's fun. I'm still trying to find an exploding helicopter for you in this movie. We haven't found any yet.
We're going to keep looking.
You never know. We'll be able to change history by showing that. Who knows? So minute 149 begins with Hiltz continuing his joyride around the German countryside and goes all the way till we get to see a plane flying over a castle in the mountains. We discussed yesterday Hiltz doing as much as he can to show off his riding skills, motorcycle riding skills, that is. And basically, he's continued to be chased in this minute. And he does all he can in order to outpace his pursuers, who are, for some reason, not catching up at all.
When I was watching this minute, I kind of, we see McQueen, motorcycling over all of these, this hilly German landscape. And I almost sort of half expected, McQueen to sort of, come up one of these hills and find the Von Trapp family, atop there.
Oh, my God. Singing, I can't believe you're saying that. I was thinking that today when I was rewatching these scenes. I was like, where are the Von Trapps? That's really funny.
Because it's very bucolic, isn't it, this moment? It's lovely, lovely mowed grass, these softly undulating hills. I mean, it's very nice.
Yeah. And, I mean, we get 20-something seconds of Hiltz just riding this motorcycle. I mean, I would call this, cycle porn. I mean, it's just... there's no logical reason that they need 22 seconds of this in the movie. And we're not even talking about what we saw yesterday. But it's still one of the most iconic parts of this whole movie. The fact that, any picture of him on the motorcycle. Obviously, I think next or 2 weeks, we'll get to talk about that even more. We get a lot of shots on him on this motorcycle from every single direction.
One thing I was wondering as I was watching, Steve McQueen, on his motorcycle, looking very cool in his, his khakis and his, cut down sweatshirt. I can't remember from watching the film. Why is Hiltz not in a like a escape uniform or disguise? Because sort of, all of the everyone else is, they've got these suits, that they've tailored, to make them look
farmers and businessmen.
But how come Hiltz is just going out, under the wire in his in his Gap outfit? Is there any to that in the film?
It's a really good question. Nope, none whatsoever. Basically, it comes down to the fact that apparently he, just refused to change out of this. I'm surprised he doesn't have his jacket here. He has a leather jacket through most of the movie, and here he doesn't have it.
Yeah, exactly. And, because, I mean, there is, Steve McQueen's character is very anachronistic, isn't it, in terms of the clothes that he's wearing. And then I'm sure you've probably already discussed the motorcycle that he is riding is also an anachronism as well, because it's, I think it's a motorcycle from the 1960s.
Yes, someone came back in time and gave him a motorcycle.
Exactly. So, as you were saying, the motorcycling scene does go on here a bit too long. So I think probably what lies behind all this is McQueen exercising some star power here to say, these are the clothes I'm wearing. This is the motorcycle I'm riding. And this is how long I want to be on screen riding this motorcycle wearing my clothes. And clearly the producers were not in a position at that moment to argue against Steve McQueen.
And did you notice the final shot that we get to see of him on the motorcycle? It's centered exactly in the middle of the frame. He stops the motorcycle in the dead center of the frame in order for us to get to see a perfect shot of him on this motorcycle. And then we get to see him look around, and he revs up the motorcycle a little bit and continues on his. It looks like he's maybe at a fashion show. He's like looking up and down the runway.
Yeah,
it just he revs the motorcycle, just takes off, and You know, we get to see all the dust and dirt right up behind him, stuff like that. I mean, this was 28 seconds of this whole minute was just Hilt, you know, trampsing around on a motorcycle. I mean, one of the things that I've said numerous times throughout this entire podcast is the fact that there are very few points of this movie that I would say that I would cut out that are extraneous. It's all very important to the plot, to the story. I think we just found half a minute that we could have gotten rid of.
No, definitely. It does. I mean, it all looks very nice. But as you say, it's not really advancing the plot or pushing anything along here. So, you do have to wonder as to quite what this footage is doing in the film. And yeah. Sort of McQueen's interest in motorcycles, you suspect, lies behind its presence.
Yes. His interest in 1960s
motorcycles. Exactly.
Have they somehow a 1962 motorcycle in 19?
I mean, he never did he do yeah. motorcycling in another movie? I mean, obviously he did like Le Mans, nope. Which was his kind of car nope. racing. Yeah, vanity project. Yes. But he seems to obviously whatever he had with motorcycles, he got it out of his system in this film.
Apparently, there's no question about that. It's pretty interesting that they actually let him put it in because of the fact that it really doesn't fit in.
But it's become completely iconic. So he was clearly completely. On either by luck or design. You know, he has stumbled on something that, has lived on for 60 years and will probably live on for 60 more at least.
Yeah, I'm sure, if not longer. I mean, that's also one of the reasons I chose this movie is because there's so many iconic points into it. And you're right, the motorcycle jump is there. You know, that and most people, when they think of The Great Escape, that's the first thing they're going to think
without
of.
Question.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say that. I couldn't give you an answer what I would think of. Because, you know, I've now, discussed 149 minutes of this movie in detail.
Yeah. You're thinking far too deeply about this film. So you're probably not the best person to ask of, like, what's the first thing you think of when you think of The Great Escape? Your mind's too cluttered with the minutiae now of this film.
I think if someone were to ask me what's the first thing I'm going to think of, my first thought will be, okay, podcast. That would probably be the answer. But who knows? We'll see in a year or two from now if someone asks me, what do I think of The Great Escape? We'll see what memories stay there that I don't need to go re-listen to. And then we get a shot. We're back watching a plane flying in the air, wondering who's in this plane. Obviously, you can see that it looks like James Garner on the side of that plane. So we know that we found them once again. We know that they've now continued their journey. At this point, we get to hear the music change again. It goes back to this optimistic, music. Here we have two characters that are about to make their escape a reality.
Nothing's going to go wrong now.
Nope, nothing can go wrong. Hint, hint.
Next stop, Switzerland.
Right. And then he screams to, obviously there's a lot of noise going on in this plane as the propeller is going. So he screams to Colin, "Helps!" Colin's response, as always, is splendid. Everything is splendid for him. Now, what I find really funny is he could have said they could be flying anywhere. And he's going to say, "Oh, look, they're the Alps."
He could be looking at a squadron of German fighters and he says the Alps and or, as you say, Colin would believe it.
Hey, look, it's Big Ben, Parliament. from European Vacation, for anyone who didn't get that reference. He could just scream at anything. Colin would believe him because he knows he needs to trust him. It's just really funny.
It's become possibly an unhealthy relationship at this point now between these two characters.
For sure, because we don't know if he's telling him the truth.
It's positively toxic.
Completely. And then once again, we get to see the fake landscape behind them through the window, which looks very funny. They swerve the cockpit back and forth a little bit. To seem as if they're moving along in the real countryside here. Then we get some external shots of the plane flying again. Beautiful shots of Switzerland or Bavaria or the Alps, whatever you want to call it. There's like this beautiful lake that they fly over also. It's really great. And
it's like a tourist advert, isn't it?
That's right.
Certainly many of the minutes that we've been watching this week, yes. You know, you could put TV adverts and come visit Germany.
Come visit Bavaria. You can see motorcyclists and flyers wherever you want. Then we go back into the plane itself and we get Henley say, over this range, then 20 minutes more and we've got it made. Which, again, is very typical in a movie, in most movies. When someone says something like that, you got to be very weary of what's really going to happen. That's the first thing. But the first thing that came to my mind when I thought about this is, how does he know that? You know, even if he is an expert flyer, I mean, we discussed earlier in the week that maybe he, you know, is similar to Commander Shears from Bridge on the River Kwai, where he's faking it all. Grifter, he's not really a pilot. That's why he can only fly this trainer plane. Okay, I can believe all that. But how can he know that as soon as they get over those mountains, they got 20 more minutes till they get to Switzerland?
Well, he'd have to have a phenomenally good understanding of European geography. Because I did a bit of back of the envelope calculations, and you know, James Gunn is right. They are about 20 minutes from Switzerland. So if we use we see this castle in this particular shot. It's the forgive my German pronunciation. It's the Neuschwanstein Castle. Now that is about 263 kilometers from Switzerland. So on my back of a fag packet calculations, I kind of estimated the plane's traveling at 350 miles per hour, which was a sort of cruising speed of a Spitfire. Now, I've no idea what plane these guys are flying. So to cover that kind of distance, 20 minutes is about right. So, you know, James Garner, we are suspicious of him many ways, you know, that as we've discussed already this week. But at this particular moment, he is actually right in what he's, you know, telling Donald Pleasance here.
Well, I didn't check that. I wasn't able to figure out where they were, so I take off my hat to you on that one, for sure. Very good research on that one, Will. Glad that you figured that out, because it does make it a lot more interesting. But what it then does is really ask more of the question, how does Henley know this? He's right.
Well,
if he was just making it up, okay, no problem. He's wrong. He's really 500 miles away. He's really 100 miles away. But if he's on the nose, something's wrong here.
I mean, he must be like some sort of, you know, human homing pigeon or something. Because as you say, I mean, you know, it's like he's got an atlas kind of engraved into his brain. If you know, he just I know that mountain. I know I recognize that exact mountain range, and I kind of know exactly where I am and exactly where sort of Switzerland is. Based on that, I mean, it's a phenomenal piece of navigation. But too good to be true. Yeah, I think
there's no question about that. Interesting.
But the castle that we see here, I have a few more facts about that. It's actually quite interesting. So it's the Neuschwanstein Castle, which apparently was built in 1869 for King Ludwig II. And apparently during World War II, it was used as a depot for stolen Nazi art treasures. And the reason it was used for that was because it was very secluded and out of the way.
263 kilometers away from Switzerland.
From Switzerland. And may touch back on some of the things that we were discussing sort of, you know, earlier this week about the fact that, none of these soldiers seem, you know, at the airbase. It's very laissez-faire there. No one seems to realize there's a war on. You know, obviously it's not that, can't be that far away because not too long has passed since they've, you know, taken off. So, it clearly is a bit of an out of the way part of Germany. This castle, if you are a Disney fan, you might recognize this castle because it's used by Disney as the model for Disneyland's Sleeping Beauty Castle because of its immense attractiveness. And this isn't the Great Escape isn't the only film that this castle appeared in. Apparently also turns up in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Wow. Well, I'm so impressed. First of all, I didn't check to see what that name of the castle was. I never even thought to try to look it up. But what is very interesting is I just kept referring to it as the Disney Castle.
Ah!
Which is hilarious. Yeah,
exactly. Just shows...
Because I said, oh, that reminds me of the Disney Castle. Yeah,
well, now you know it wasn't... It's not by accident. It's completely by design.
Completely, yeah. He does a nice flyby of the castle.
He does.
As the minute ends. You know, he does a very nice job there. He's now showing once again that he does know how to fly. So I'm just really confused. You know, is he able to fly or not?
I think we're going to go backwards and forwards on this, all week.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm not too sure. It's a very good question that we can keep asking. We can even try to ask it again tomorrow if we want. Because we'll see a little bit of it tomorrow.
Well, I look forward to finding out what's going to happen in this next minute.
Yeah, seriously. All right, so you have anything else to say about this minute?
No, I've tramped all of my sand into the parade ground for this episode. So, yeah, I'm all done.
Okay, great. So you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, come to my site, explodinghelicopter.com. Check out our podcast. It's called Exploding Helicopter on all good podcatchers and some moderate ones as well. And, yeah, come say hello to me on social media at Trouble.
All right. Excellent. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher that you might be using to listen to the show. Our Facebook group is The Cooler. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com. Our email address is thegreatminute@gmail.com. And our Twitter account is greatescapemxm. So, Will, you want to come back tomorrow and finish off the week with us?
I'm this far with you. I might as well, shove my head out of the tunnel and make a dash for the woods.
Right, just make sure that the guard's not looking when you come out.
Oh, God.
And keep your head down.
Yeah, heaven forbid.
Well, until tomorrow, tally-ho.
Tally-ho.
Everyone, because we're winding down and we have less than 30 episodes left, I decided I'm going to do something very special for the final episode of this podcast. If anyone can please send us any questions, we're going to do a Q&A section, me and one or two other guests. So if you have any questions about The Great Escape or about doing a Movies by Minute podcast or about me or anything that you want to ask, it doesn't make a difference. You can ask us questions. And once we record episode 172, we will answer all of your questions, get them to us as quickly as possible. You know where to send them as a private message to Facebook, to Twitter, or you can send them to email any which way that we can see the questions and no one else will see them and we will answer them live for you. Thanks a lot, everyone.